Hello, this is Doyle McIntyre, owner and operator of Amalgamated Murgatroyd, your hometown explosives superstore. Thanksgiving is just around the corner, and even though the Pilgrims did not blow up Plymouth Rock, they were glad to have black powder when it came time to deal with the natives and kill them. Well, don't be caught short-handed. Come on down to our store, and we have a full supply of tertiary blasting agents and caps, not to mention fulminates and pyromatic glaze and jellies, which you can get all in one stop without having to go from store to store. Come on down to our newly renovated showroom and let our friendly staff help you. And now, the Ringhouse Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour.
Live from the Milk Dud Factory in Robinson, Illinois, it's the Ringhouse Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. 30 minutes of hard-hitting, no-holds-barred discussion about the exciting and dangerous world of professional alligator wrestling. With your host, the eldest of the Ringhausen brothers, lawyer, statesman, musician, first banjoist for the New York Philharmonic, and the legal representative of the International Brotherhood of Professional Alligator Wrestlers, a man who can do 20 pull-ups, some of them back-to-back, Richard J. Ringhausen. And, are you ready? Daredevil, marksman, sculptor, the 7-time world welterweight alligator wrestling champion, and winner of the silver medal in alligator wrestling at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona, Spain, a man who's not afraid to run with scissors, the youngest of the Ringhausen brothers and the star of the show, Alan Ringhausen. Woo-hoo-hoo! Good job.
Hi, Rick.
Still there?
I'm still here.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
So how's life treating you?
I'm fine. Why? Well, you're leading up to something. What?
As you know, I went to Oklahoma recently, and I had an adventure, and I wasn't going to tell you. And I'm still trying to decide whether to or not.
Yeah, Rick, just do it. God.
Okay.
I already All know right. you're an idiot. So what difference does it make?
Okay. So we're, as you know, Jackie, the weather girl.
Yes.
Is doing the baby thing, having a baby, right?
Yes.
Actually, she had one. And Sue and I, wife, go down to Norman, Oklahoma to be with her to share this life experience.
Right. Yeah. Guide her through life as a grandparent now.
Correct. So we go to take the camper, drag the camper down to Norman, Oklahoma. First thing, you know, Jackie had said, you can stay with us, you know, and Sue's like, well, yeah, we'll stay with you. Mm-hmm. But you know, I had to remind her. I said, do you really want to be in a house with a newborn baby? I mean, the whole point of being grandparents is that you walk away from that.
Yeah, it's enough listening to you cry all the time, much less a baby.
Right, exactly. So we decide we're going to take the camper after all. So we take the camper, and there's a campground, Thunderbird Lake Campground, which is about 10 miles outside of Norman, Oklahoma. Real handy, just like a 15-minute shot to Jackie's house to visit her. So we go visit her. You know, we unhook the truck, you know, leave the camper and go visit Jackie. Well, what's the state animal of Illinois? Let me ask you that first off. Do you know?
Was the what?
The state animal of Illinois.
It's a white-tailed deer.
That is correct. Do you know what the state animal of Oklahoma is?
The white-tailed deer.
It's the white-tailed skunk.
Ooh. Okay.
It's more skunks per capita in Oklahoma than any other state in the United States.
No kidding.
Yeah. And Jackie has a labradoodle.
Yeah.
That it got sprayed in her backyard, and she was telling us, you know, what a job it was to get the dog cleaned. You know, it was a big undertaking.
because after the dog got sprayed, her husband, my son-in-law, left the door open. The dog ran into the house and skunkified the house. So they not only had to clean the dog, but they had to clean the skunk, or had to clean the house. And I say that as a way of leading into what's happened here. So we get back to the campground, right?
Yeah.
And we have what's known as a back-end site, where you back the camper in and leave it. And then when you come back, you back your truck in kind of sideways next to it.
Yes.
As I'm backing the truck in, I hear a little thump.
Oh.
Yeah. It was a skunk. Ran over a skunk, backed over a skunk right next to the camper.
Oh.
Which was as bad. It was as good as it got. Get out of the truck and immediately, you know, a wave of skunk is just blast you.
Yeah, because, and Sue responded, how?
Well, it's like, well, what's going on? You know, and I felt that little bump, you know, so I look under the truck and sure enough, skunk that I've backed it, over. Skunk.
It's laying there.
Well, what's that line from Princess Bride? Your friend is only mostly dead.
Oh, okay.
Its back half has been thoroughly compromised, but the front half is still alive.
Oh, you got to watch that. They carry rabies.
I know that. I'm fully aware. So the question is, you know, what do you do at this point? You know, you don't want to. You can't just leave it. I mean, it's terrible. I mean, it stinks so bad that you can't stand it. So, underneath the camper, there's a hatch, and Sue drags out a broom, right? And I'm going to drag the skunk out from under the truck and dispose of it. And, of course, it still has a little bit of life in it. Still there?
Yeah, I'm just mesmerized, Rick.
Well, so you drag the skunk out, and, you know, I take a stick and kind of rake it onto the broom. I'm using the broom like, well, they use an Italian pizzeria to put a pizza in the oven, you know?
Yeah.
We got the skunk on it. And I'm going to take the skunk to the dumpster and get rid of it, because there's a dumpster at the end of the loop where we're staying. And of course, you know, it falls off at least once on the way to the dumpster, and I have to fish the damn thing back onto the broom. And so threw the broom and the skunk into the dumpster, right? Because the broom has been
funkified. Yeah, you never use that again.
Yeah, and I guess I'd kind of use my shoe to push it back up onto the broom.
Okay, throw that in there too.
Well, I mean, I guess I got skunked.
Yeah.
While I'm doing this, so I get back to the camper, and I guess I'm thoroughly skunkified.
Yeah.
And Sue, and I agree with her that I should not go in. If I go into the camper, camper's going to be skunked.
Right.
And if I go into the truck, it's going to be skunked. So the question is, what do you do? So the camper, and by the way, you know,
Rick,
it's on.
She should have thrown you in the dumpster.
Yeah. In retrospect. So it's middle of the week in October in Norman, Oklahoma, at the campgrounds. So there's nobody at the campground. I mean, there's the camp host when we first came in. And our loop, the only people in our loop was us. You know, we were the only camper in the loop. So in any event, the camper has an outdoor shower feature that we've never used. But we drag out the hose and stuff that goes with it. Sue goes in the camper and gets soap and the Dawn dishwashing liquid and, you know, some aerosol or some Lysol. And hook the hose up for the shower there. Bag my clothes, which are going in the dumpster too. Because you're wearing old clothes, you know, for camp, it's not like there's anything valuable there. And now the camper, when you hook a camper up at the campground, you've never done this, but it hooks up to water. There's like a water hose, but it doesn't hook up to hot water and cold water. It hooks up to cold water, and it's got a built-in water heater that heats the water for the water tank, which we hadn't turned on.
Okay, here we go.
So imagine taking a bracing ice shower outside your camper.
It's just like Pulp Fiction.
That was exactly the scene I was going to reference. It was just like the scene in Pulp Fiction after they blew Marvin's head off and they're going to hose, and the wolf is going to hose him down in the backyard, right?
Yep.
Okay. So do the shower. She's got a threadbare towel from the Utah National Park, Arches National Park. Why Arches National Park would have a beach towel, considering there's no beaches, is a miracle. But in any event, that's what I had to tell. And dry off, and I'm still skunked. The Dawn dishwashing liquid in this Life Boy or whatever it was did not take the skunk smell away. And Jackie had said the same thing when washing her dog, that she had to go get a special shampoo to clean the dog.
I saw it was tomato juice.
Tomato juice is a wives' tale, I found out, because I had suggested sale. Jackie had to use special dog shampoo. So
that was a treat.
So the question, I mean, you know, Jackie's going to the hospital that night, literally to be induced. We don't want to bother Jackie with this.
No.
But we also want to go to the hospital, you know, so it's got to be resolved one way or the other. So
we
decide that Sue will drive back into Norman and find whatever it takes to get the skunk smell off. And I will wait at the campground.
She should just hold you to the car wash.
Well, I could. Well, you would have had to get in the truck to get there unless she hauled me in the back, and that wasn't happening.
Yeah, like hauling rotten fruit.
So, any event, the way it worked out was that I wait on the picnic table while she drives off. You know, and it's nighttime, it's cold, you know, it's October, and it's cold is the only way to describe it.
I'm surprised that you didn't get arrested just sitting around on a table like that.
And that's true, too. Yeah, there was nobody in the campground.
You're lucky there.
Oh, yeah, that's true, too.
I see a guy sitting in the campground in town. I'm calling the police.
So, you know, finally, I just decide, you know, I don't care. I mean, that I'm going to drag the blanket off the bed, you know, and if I have to throw the blanket away, I throw the blanket away. But at least I'm going to be warm. And I go to do that. And I find out that before she left, Sue locked the camper. Took the key with her.
Cold.
Like she didn't trust me not to go into it, you know.
Good thinking on our part.
I wasn't going to go in. I was just going to drink. And long story short, you know, it takes 15 minutes to drive, 15 minutes to back, you know, and 15 or 20 minutes while she jacked around the store. It's an hour, you know, before she gets back.
Long wait.
Finally, she gets back, you know, and she's got this dog shampoo. So the one thing I decided or figured out while she's gone is that there is a shower house for the campground on the other side of the loop. So I'm going to walk over to the shower house in the gravel, because I'm barefoot. I don't have shoes or socks on. And to go shower at the shower house with the dog shampoo.
Not naked.
Which at least it was warm, I will say that, and it was clean. Kudos to the Lake Thunderbird campground shower grounds, because they were clean and decent. Come out, Sue gives me a sniff and decides that I need a second round, so I go shower again. And this time, I pass the test. She's brought clean clothes with me. Throw the old towel away. You know, she's brought a clean towel. I get to dry off finally. And things are back on track. So now we walk over to where the camp host is and get permission to move to a different campsite on the other side of the loop.
Happy days.
That was after the camp host kind of chewed my ass out for throwing the skunk in the dumpster, which
I don't blame him.
He wasn't thrilled with that, but I wasn't getting it out. But the one thing that he did do is he drives his little golf cart over to where we're camped. And he says that before we pull that camper out, he's got like a mixture of sawdust and sand, you know, like school bus drivers throw on puke in a bus.
Yeah, magic sawdust.
And he says you got to cover that spot where the skunk got run over. Otherwise, when you pull your camper out, it's going to get on the wheels of the camper.
Starting all over.
So he covers that up nice, and we move to a different spot. And everything, and finally got to go see our newborn grandson at the hospital.
I think this is a good time for a commercial.
I agree. Let's see what we got.
G'day, fellas. I'm Crocodile Jack from the Outback. I've been listening to how you boys are wrestling around with some baby alligators, but you ain't seen nothing till you've been in the business end of a 14-foot croc that's trying to eat you. But once you've landed the Aussie swamp monster, you're only halfway home. You need the right piece of equipment to cut the beast into bite-sized pieces. That's why I'm proud to announce my new Crocodile Jackknife. If I can skin a monster crocodile from the Aussie swamps or shake down the local aborigines for protection, then you boys should surely be able to take care of your tiny American gators in mere minutes with this little lady. And the Crocodile Jackknife isn't just for hunting, it's also a dandy fashion accessory. I attach this little piece of hardened steel to my belt when I head to the pub, and it drives the Sheilas wild. So get yours today and start slaying them, outside and inside. Or my name's not Crocodile Jack from the Outback.
Well, that's a hell of a thing. Now, during the break, you asked me whether or not I got rid of the smell. Let me tell you.
It kind of had the smell of like a couple people that have been to a rock concert, been sitting smoking pot under a tree all day. I will say this, too. When Sue had got the went to get the dog shampoo, there was a car wash there, and she had stopped and hosed off the tires of the truck and bought a whole bunch of those little pine things you hang from the rearview mirror. So we hung a whole bunch of them inside the camper and inside the truck. So it smelled like pot and pine trees. So, you know, when you kind of get used to it, once it's filled your senses with delightfulness, I mean, you get to where you're used to it at that point. So that's my great skunk adventure. But didn't you have a skunk adventure once too?
Okay, well, this happened a long, long, long time ago. You remember that green car that I had that was all souped up and I drove it really fast everywhere I went?
Yeah.
Well, I was coming home late one night. It was foggy. And I came to this real sharp curve in the road. And just as I come around the corner, there's not one skunk, but five skunks. And I hit them all.
Like crossing a cattle panel?
Just a rattle, just like the muffler came off and I ran over it five times.
So did you get skunked?
Oh, they all discharged from what I can tell. It was horrible. I mean, I thought, oh God, I got to roll the windows down. And that didn't help because the whole car was so stunk up that it was making your eyes water. So I come home, park the car in the shed and go in and go to bed. And the next morning, I wake up to Dad saying, "You got to get rid of that car."
Get rid of it.
Yeah. I parked it out in what we called the old machine shed. And so I, got it. It still stunk horribly. I got in it. As a matter of fact, I even looked under it to see if one was hung up under there. But I drove it out into the orchard and just let it set for like a week to let the smell go away.
Why didn't you go wash it?
I lived on a farm.
And okay. did the smell go away after a week?
It lessened. And then I did go to town and try spraying underneath of it. Because in those days, all you had were the, you put quarters in the car wash thing and you sprayed it yourself. So I tried spraying and it didn't really seem to lessen. The only thing that would fix it was time.
That didn't. I heard another voice there. Is that our brother Brad? Did our brother Brad join? First Crocodile Jack and now Brad. What an amazing thing.
I just wondered if Alan sprayed his car with tomato juice.
Okay, that's a fallacy. That doesn't work.
We've decided that's a wife's tale.
Okay.
Daughter right. Jackie said she tried that on her dog. It got skunked and it didn't work.
I mean, aw.
Yeah.
Brad, are you aware that a skunk cannot spray its scent unless its front feet are touching the ground?
Yeah. Let me tell you how that works. You back a Dodge Ram 1500 over it, it discharges whether its front feet are up in the air or not.
I'm not saying forced out of it after, you know, being compressed by a heavy object. I'm saying if they're out in the wild and they're using it as a defense mechanism, they typically raise their rear feet off the ground, but their front feet have to be on the ground.
Well,
really?
Yeah. When wouldn't their feet be on the ground?
Yeah, like are they dancing? Like walking around on their hind feet?
Okay, what I'm saying is if I was out in the woods and I see a skunk come walking by and I'm as silent as can be, if I reach out and snatched it up off the ground
before it could squirt.
Yep. That once I get him up off the ground and hold him by the scuff of his neck, he can't do his business.
Is that
right? Didn't you once have some tale you were telling about being out in the woods or hunting? And I'm just curious why you didn't use that particular talent since you knew it.
I've had a skunk come under my deer stand before.
Right, that's it. One of them that you do not shoot, and you let it pass on by.
You sit more still than if a deer were coming.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about not too long ago about heebie-jeebies.
Yeah.
Seeing a skunk gives you the heebie-jeebies.
Seeing a skunk, especially like if you're in the dark walking to your deer stand and encounter skunk, that is a true heebie-jeebie moment.
Where you go, oh, and how's this going to end?
Right.
You know, when I was in law school, this is a different skunk story. I was in law school my first year there. There was a woman who was in the law school class, same one as me, and she looked and dressed like a fashion model. I mean, like about 6 feet tall. And must have had a budget of like $1,000 a week for clothes, because I mean she's always dressed to the nines, you know. And she had a
hey
D.
Rick,
yes, yeah,
you're coming off as a stalker right now.
This was a long time ago. What I'm saying is she had a D skunked skunk.
How long
that
did
she carried
live
around
in your basement?
I said she carried around a skunk.
Okay.
You know, to me, if you're carrying around a skunk, you're begging for attention, don't you think?
I think you're begging for some alone time.
For people to leave you alone.
No, but the skunk was de-skunked. I mean, it didn't have skunk gland in it.
How do you know that? She had its feet off the ground.
She had its feet off the ground, Rick.
She was carrying it around.
What?
No, I rode in a car with it. We went down to, this was my first week in town.
So you and the skunk were in the trunk while the fashion model was.
fashion model drove, I rode along, and the skunk sat between us. Went to a clothes store, and she bought me a tie.
A black and white one, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Actually, that's 100% true. Now that you think about it,
Rick, what this is telling me is that she had mercy on pathetic animals.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I was a work in progress at that time, no matter what.
Oh, at that time. Okay.
Yeah, I'm better now. I'm fixed. I'm perfect.
You're fixed, just like the skunk.
I had my gland removed.
She thought of you as harmless.
My.
All right. Well, thanks for that stalker story, Rick.
Indeed. All right.
That kind of gave me the heebie-jeebies.
It did. Okay, I think I got enough. That'll let me patch together an episode, I think.
Okay. I'm struggling with you
it's
riding
just my
in the
voice
car with
and you two aren't there. I don't know what's so hard to believe about that. You know, I told Suzanne that story for the first time yesterday, and she was mildly astonished.
What about the skunk? Skunk model?
The skunk model. She said she didn't think that I could date a skunk model.
I think she's right.
I think she might be onto something.
I think you'd have a better chance with the skunk.
I'm hanging up. Later. Go away, both of you.
All right, then.
Yeah.
See you later from Rick Gator.
Brad Gator.
Alligator.
This has been the Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour. Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Hour is brought to you by Uncle Dim's Roasters. Tastes just like chicken, but it's not. And by Cannoli's Canine Cough Drops. If your dog is coughing, he's coughing for a cannoli. No portion of today's broadcast may be reproduced without the express written consent of the North American Alligator Wrestling Association. And with that little bit of legal business in hand, see you later from Rick Gator and Alligator and sometimes Brad Gator. This has been a Ringhausen Brothers Alligator Wrestling Network production, except no substitutes. Hot tamales.